Why is there evil in the world?
A billboard evangelism phone dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Good afternoon. This is Roger with Gospel Billboards. How are you doing today?
Hi, Roger. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I guess you saw one of our billboards somewhere. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. So I was wondering, one of them said there's faith in God, or there is a God, and called to find out.
Okay, all right. I'm not sure exactly which one you saw, but it might have been the one that said there is evidence for God. Is that the one you saw?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, all right, yes. Well, I'm very glad you saw that one. You know, we're putting these up to just encourage people to get right with God before they die. Do you mind
so
if
what,
I ask?
What can you prove that there is a God?
Well, in other words, what evidence is there that there's a God? Yeah, I'd be very happy to talk to you about that. God has given us an abundance of evidence for His own existence. Number one is creation all around us. We see the evidence of an incredibly intelligent, or far more intelligent than any scientist that ever exists today, because, you know, no human's ever been able to create life from non-living material. We also see, you know, the planets, the huge array of galaxies and planets and you know, stars all, you know, way out further than we can possibly imagine. Again, to say that that just happened to get there, you know, that's not a reasonable idea. There has to be somebody behind this. All right. So, again, those are two evidences that we have, just the cosmos itself, matter and energy, and then we have life itself. Mm-hmm. You know, where life does not come from non-living material, it must have had a cause. Therefore, that cause must have been far greater and grander than anything we can possibly imagine. So those are some, I guess you'd call them negative evidences. They're evidences that would say, without God, we don't have an explanation for those things. All right. But there's also some positive evidence that's even more compelling, and I'd love to share that with you as well, if you're open to it.
I am.
Okay. Well, as far as the positive evidence that God has given us for His existence, it's when 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and He came to this earth where, you know, people, just like we talked about, don't have an answer in a naturalistic worldview for the existence of life or the existence of the universe itself, matter and energy. But Jesus came to this universe and said that he could give answers to those questions. He could give answers about where the universe came from. And people ask Him, can you give us evidence to prove that you're qualified to give us these answers, to prove that you're a reliable witness? In other words, Jesus was claiming to be there in existence at the beginning of the universe. And Jesus said yes, He would give evidence, and He said that the evidence was going to be His own resurrection from the dead. In other words, He was basically offering to allow people to kill Him and bury Him, and if He came back to life 3 days later, after they killed Him, then they would know that He really was who He said He was, namely the Son of God. So, my encouragement to you is if you want to know truth, start with the most important question of the universe. Did Jesus really rise from the dead like He said He was going to do? Because if He did, then we can know that what He said about Himself is true, what He said about the origin of the universe is true, what He said about life after death is true, and what happens to us and how we can prepare. all those important questions we can have answers to if we can just... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did he rise from the dead?
Well, the answer is yes. He, in fact, did rise from the dead. And once he had risen from the dead, he showed himself alive to not just dozens but hundreds of people. And you know, they checked out the grave. You have evidence from history, namely the empty tomb. You have the post-mortem appearances. You have the disciples and their belief in the resurrection, in which they were willing to be tortured and killed rather than give it up. And as you put all that together, there's only... I suppose you can.
Without putting religion in here, I have a question. Really, it's really an honest question.
Well, good.
If there is a God, then how come he allows all this bad things happen in the world?
You know, that is a good question, and a lot of people struggle with that question. They say, if God's good and if he's all-powerful, why are there bad things? And to tell you the truth, we see quite a number of bad things. To be fair, we also see quite a number of good things. We see good and bad. Mm-hmm. We see this weird mixture. Mm-hmm. We don't see all bad. We don't see all good. But then we turn to the Bible for answers, God's Word. And what does it describe? It describes God who created everything absolutely perfect. No sin, no starving children, no cancer, no disease, no death.
Right.
But then he gave the keys of this beautiful creation to man and woman and said, you take care of it. I give you the free will, the choice, the power to do it. Well, what did they do? They turned the keys over to the devil, to Satan, and basically gave him charge of it when they fell into sin. And so now we see this weird mixture, not all good, not all bad, but a mixture of good and evil. And it's exactly how the Bible describes that it would be. And so I think,
how could God allow, like, I'm just curious, you know, something like what's happening in the last week in all these schools happen.
Right, the school shootings.
Innocent people die.
Well, one of the reasons might be, and I can't read the mind of God exactly, but one of the reasons might be when we as humans basically looked at God and said, hey, we really don't need you. We want to turn this creation over to the devil. God may have said, okay, if that's what you choose, I'm going to allow you to do that. And he stepped out of the way and said, just keep watching, folks, and you'll see what happens when the devil is in charge. When the devil is in charge, you're going to have things like the Holocaust. You're going to have things like Adolf Hitler killing all these people and starting World War II. And you're going to have communism destroying millions of their own people. And you're going to have abortions taking the lives of innocent babies. And you're going to have school shootings. That's what happens when the devil's in charge. And maybe God's waiting for us to get our mind around that and say, whoa, that, you know, we didn't realize this was the consequence. We want to put God in charge again. And you know what? There are people that are doing exactly that. They can't do it to the whole world, but they can do it to their own individual lives. They're coming to God and bowing the knee before him and his son, Jesus Christ, and saying, I don't want to live under the influence, under the sway of Satan anymore. I want to be in your kingdom. And God allows them. He forgives them for the sins that they've committed. And, you know, God is establishing a kingdom here on this earth that will eventually be translated to the next life. And I would love if you would join his kingdom.
Well, I mean, I don't want to bring the religion point in view, but I'm just curious, how could this happen, though? You know, how can all these bad stuff happen?
Well, the way they could happen is because God allows them to. He doesn't make them happen. He's not the author of sin. But God has given free will to humans. And humans, people, have given the power that God gave to them to the devil in a big way. And so the way it can happen is when someone bad is in charge. It's like someone who lives in Germany back in the 30s saying, how can these things happen? Well, the way that they could happen is because Hitler was in charge. Hitler was a bad guy. You know, it doesn't mean good did not exist back then. It meant Hitler was in charge and Hitler was bad. And so Hitler made bad things happen. Well, we live in a world where sin and death and Satan are largely ruling. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we see bad things happening. That's what happens when bad people are in charge.
Mm-hmm. But why doesn't he put a stop to it?
Well, he will. He could destroy evil right now. The problem the thing that I would want to encourage you to think about, though, is are you sure you're ready for that? Do you want God to come down right now and do away with all evil? If he would, which side would you be on?
Or what about all the diseases that are in the world?
They all go together.
Dying of
sin and disease. Yeah, they all go together. It's a package deal. So my question again is, I don't know if you caught the last part of the question, but if God were to destroy evil, which side would you be on? Would you be upon on the survivors? Or would you be upon those who were destroyed?
No, I'm a good person. I believe in God. You know, I pray every day.
Okay, that's good. When you say a good person, are you good in the sense that God calls good? In other words, a good person would be someone who has never violated God's law, never told a lie, never committed adultery,
even with
his eyes.
No.
You're not good in
that. Well, not adultery, but no one is good. You're not good. I'm not good. There's no
exactly.
way no one can commit a sin. You know, just no one can commit a sin. You know, you go a year, everybody has to be able to commit a sin because we're all human. And
okay.
I don't steal.
Right.
I don't rob. I don't kill. You know, I'm Jewish, actually, so just so you know.
Okay. Well, that's interesting to know. You've been Jewish all your life, or did you convert to Judaism?
No, I'm Jewish all my life.
Okay. And So you know the law of God then. You know what God says
right.
about stealing and lying and all those things. And see,
right.
that's where the fact that we have all done that does mean exactly
right,
what you said.
It's like,
I agree with you.
In the last year, have you never lied? Yeah, of course. I may have not told the truth. That's true. You know, but I don't, it's not the truth like, you know, stealing from someone or hurting someone or, you know, but everybody, we're all human. We all have to lie. We all do lie.
Well, the question
is, why would God cause all this bad stuff to happen? Why would he make innocent people, you know, like a child, get hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you hear about this nanny who killed two kids, like a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God allow that?
Yeah, and those are things that I'm not going to say I stand in the place of God and know why he would allow that. But what I do know is evil does exist. You admitted the evil in your own heart. I have evil in my heart. And God has allowed the evil to continue so he can show mercy on some of us. Because you just illustrated we need the mercy of God. And I'm glad that God gave an opportunity for me to be saved. In other words, he held off a little while. And I'm glad that I could see the sinfulness of sin. When I go into prisons and visit people in there, when I see on the news all the evil that's going on, it's a shocking reminder that we live in a very, very wicked world and how I need to be saved. Not only do I need to be saved, I need to tell others how they can also be saved. Because the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. It says that you know sin is going to enter heaven. And so I don't understand why God has waited as long as he did, but I'm glad he waited long enough for me to get saved, and I hope that you also get saved before Jesus comes back. And that you would also join the side of the good.
I'm a good person. I'm not an evil person. I give to charity.
But you admitted that you've done wrong, right? Which means
we are all human. It's not that we've done wrong. If I ask you, have you lied in the last year? There's no way. I'm not going to say no way, but most likely you're going to say, of course I have. You know, if we want to be honest and if we're all human, right?
Okay, that's right. That's why I need a Savior. And so do you. You need someone to take your sins away. You see, if you were Jewish, maybe you remember the stories back in the time of Moses, in the time of Aaron, in the time of Samuel. They had these animal sacrifices, the shedding of blood to take away sin.
Right.
Today, there's only one way. We don't have the temple in Jerusalem anymore. We need the blood of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. He alone can take away sin. And those animal sacrifices, they pointed forward to Jesus. And so Jesus now stands, you know, above this evil world, you know, on that cross offering. He's not on the cross anymore, but he's offering himself as a sacrifice so that those who believe on him can have their sins taken away. And that goes for you. That goes for me. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter what religion you were born into. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ and turn from your sins, he will forgive you. He will have mercy on you. And ultimately, there's coming a day when he's going to destroy sin. He's going to destroy the devil and all the sin. And those who serve the devil, those who have not been set free from their sin, they are going to be cast into the lake of fire called hell. But in the meantime, God is offering you eternal life. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand on that, and I know all that. But my whole main question about it is, why is this all this happening in the world?
Do you mind if I ask you a question? And again, I've given you a little bit of the answer. I've given you what I know about, you know, God and his working, and the reason is God has given free will, and God doesn't want to override our free will. God could have. He could have made us robots. They just did exactly what he programmed us to do without any choice, but he did not. He created us as free human beings that could sin if we wanted to. Otherwise, it would not have been free will, because he wants us to freely choose him. Now, is that a satisfactory answer for everyone? No, it's not satisfactory for everyone, but you know, that's all we can go on is what God has revealed to us. We don't know what we don't know. We don't know what God has not revealed to us. But in the meantime, let me ask you a question. You talked about the pain and suffering in the world. Have you personally been through a lot of pain?
No. I mean, I'm okay. I work. I have this. I have that.
Yeah. And sometimes that question comes up when people are suffering. And so I didn't know. You're seeing the suffering of others more than your own suffering then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm just
all right. Well, and
you know, you see people suffering, and for no reason, somebody might get hurt or get hit. You know, get killed for no reason. An innocent person that might happen to them.
Yeah, yeah, and you do see that all the time, and it's another reminder to us as humans what it's like in this world with the devil in charge. You know, that there's a groaning. The whole creation is groaning under the weight of sin, and this is the world we live in. Because when God created us, there was no death, there was no suffering, it was happiness, it was peace, and God can, and I believe will, restore His creation to that eventually. He said there's coming a day when, you know, the things will all. He says, "I make all things new." But in the meantime, he is allowing a period of time for us to choose. Do we want to choose the evil, or do we want to surrender our lives to his Son, Jesus Christ, and join the side of the good, become part of his glorious kingdom? In the book of Daniel, in your scriptures, it says that there's going to be a glorious kingdom that will never pass away. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He has set up his kingdom. It's pure and holy. And right now, not everybody's in the kingdom because people are still choosing evil. The majority of the people are on their way to on the Broadway that leads to destruction. But
of course,
a few people
because
are
it's
saying,
so much
I'm
easier
done with
to
that.
Be evil, right? Because it's so much easier to be evil than be honest.
You're right. Exactly.
Right?
It's so much
because
easier to be.
I'm just going to give you an explanation. How hard is it for someone to earn money? They got to work, right?
Yeah.
Then you
got to
pay your taxes. But if I go could, like, you know, go rob someone, I can maybe make $200 in 5 minutes, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no taxes to pay or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. It's so much easier to be evil. Yep. That's our human nature and God. And God knows that, and so that's why it gives a lot of glory to God when we, in our humanity, choose to say no to evil, which is the easier way. We choose to say no, and we say yes to God. And God gets glory from that because he knows we don't have to. He has given us free choice. He has given us free will. And yet we choose to. Why? Because we love God. We love our Creator. We say, God, I want to serve you and love you and honor you because he deserves it. He deserves for us to serve and honor and love him. And so that's what I really want to encourage you with. I'm curious, have you ever read anything in the New Testament, like the book of Matthew? Have you ever read any parts of that?
No, because I told you, I'm Jewish. I didn't want to bring religion into this, but...
Well, there's no way to keep religion out of a question. Yeah, a question, I don't know what exactly you qualify as religion, but I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's no way that we can separate the two. The question, why is there evil, is all, it has to be connected to the message that Jesus gave. If we can't connect the two, we don't have an answer. But the message that Jesus gave gives us an answer. He says, I am the Son of God. I came not as a God who stands aloof from evil, but as a God who will enter into the evil and provide a way around the evil, a way through the evil, strength, and so forth. And so, you know, that's what I want to encourage you to find those answers. If you don't find them in Jesus, then it's not a true answer. It's a counterfeit answer. So that's what I'd like to challenge you, even though you've never read the book of Matthew before, to go read it. Go read the book of Matthew. Find a Bible or help us. We'll be glad to send you one for free if you want. But get a Bible and simply...
No, I can always Google it.
You can get one somewhere. Go get download it on, you can get a free app if you have a smartphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But my challenge is simply this. Read the book of Matthew all the way through, start to finish, and as you're reading... Ask yourself a very simple question. Who is Jesus Christ? And just, read a chapter and ask that question. Read another chapter and ask that question. I think you'll be amazed.
It's not a problem. You know, it's not a problem. Okay. But then that's going to say, you know, that brings the religion thing into it. And I don't want
to... That's okay.
You know, our religions are two different religions, but we both believe in the same thing, though.
Well... If we don't both believe in Jesus, then obviously we don't believe in the same thing because the most important truth in the world is Jesus himself, the person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it's maybe even larger than religion. It's a question of truth. What is truth?
But you say that, but then the Muslim people say it's Allah, right?
Correct. That they do. Well, they say it's Muhammad is actually their ultimate authority.
Muhammad. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So,
at the end of the day, if you take the main three religions, they all point to one person, and that person talks to God. So basically, everybody in the main three religions believes in God, right?
Well, they all believe in a creator. That is true. They're called monotheistic religions. That would not include like Hinduism or Buddhism. Those would be in a different category. But of the monotheistic religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, you're correct. They would all believe this. They would believe this way. They would say that both God and nature exist. Now, an atheist would say, no, only nature exists. There is no God. Whereas a Hindu would say only God exists. There's no separation between God and nature. But the monotheistic religions would say both God and nature exist. God is God, and he created nature. He is not nature. But he's separate from nature. He created it. All right, but now the question comes, how do we know the truth about God? Islam would say the message given by Muhammad is the way to access the truth about God. Judaism would say, along with Christianity, that the message given by Moses was a true message. I would agree with that. I'm a Christian. I believe that the message given by Moses was true. However, Moses did not leave it complete. He said, there's another prophet coming like unto me. When he comes, he said, listen to him. That prophet was Jesus. So Jesus also came, and Jesus, you know, when people ask him, how do we know that you're a messenger from God? How do we know that you are who you say you are, that your message is true? Jesus said that the answer is going to be his own resurrection from the dead. You know, because he was claiming to be the Jewish Messiah. He was claiming to be the Son of God. And so when people ask him for evidence, he said, I will rise again. And so the question is, did he really do it? Because if he did rise again, then we can know that he really was who he said he was. He was the Son of God. He was the Jewish Messiah. We can also know what happens to somebody who comes along, like Muhammad, and says that Jesus did not rise from the dead. We can know that he had to be a false prophet, because if the resurrection is true and Jesus did rise from the dead, and then Muhammad comes along and says he did not rise from the dead, we can know that that's not true. So that's why it's so important to examine the evidence of the resurrection. Did it really happen? If it did, then we can know that Jesus is the way to God. He is the truth. He is the only way to get right with God. Does that make sense?
Yes. I appreciate.
And hello? I appreciate. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I want to say I appreciate you calling, and that's calling today, and I want to encourage you to, you know, do this investigation, you know, read the book of Matthew, or you know, if you want some other literature about how we can know that the resurrection is true from the evidence of history, if you want any of that, I'd be very happy to send it to you. We have that material. We give it away for free. It's up to you.
I can Google it.
You Google it. That'd be a great thing to start, and I'll even give you some ideas what you can Google if that would be helpful to you.
Okay.
Here's one of the things you can Google. Three words, Jesus of Testimony. Jesus of Testimony. And that should pull up like a two-hour documentary about the evidence for Jesus and who he was, all right, from history.
Okay.
Do it when you have time. Another study you can check out is called In Defense of Easter. In Defense of Easter. And Google those four words, and that'll pull up a book. You could probably buy it on Amazon. That's the book that we give away for free. But if you want to buy it on Amazon, you can do that. And it's just a study on the historical evidence for Jesus and his resurrection. Did it really happen or not? So those are two places you could start, along with the book of Matthew. Those three things would be a great place to start if you want to find the truth.
Okay. I'm going to do that.
Okay, well, I really appreciate the call. One last question for you. Do you have one more minute that you would allow me to pray for you before we hang up?
I would, because we're different. I mean, I appreciate that, only because we're on a different religious aspect.
I understand you to say you're a little uncomfortable with that right now. Is that right?
Yeah, yes.
I will respect that, but if that ever changes, you give us a call back, and
we'd
love to answer more questions or pray with you or whatever. But in the meantime, God bless you, and thank you for the call today.
Thank you, you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep, you're welcome. Goodbye.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism Program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. Sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and His Word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt a Billboard Sponsorship Program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt a Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options and quarterly newsletter, or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at ChristianAidMinistries.org.